Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. Yeah, come on over to the Trim Radio Network where you can listen in, you can buy merchandise, which helps us stay on the air. And if you want, and you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That includes any and all medical and health professional information as well. And we expressly deny any and all liability from such. We also have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You call in, give us your opinion. We'd love to hear from you. Just no cussing or swearing. And this song right here, Leave It to Beaver, is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And without further ado, here is Stu.
Hey, Michael. Wow, what a crazy Wednesday it's been with me. I'll tell you what. Everything's kind of going nuts anymore. It was really crazy today. Everything was going really fine. And I met a friend for lunch, and we were having lunch and talking over some of the stuff that's going on in the financial world and everything else. And next thing you know, I get home, and by 2:30, somebody calls me, and they go, I have to go to the emergency room. You want to take an ambulance? No, take me to the emergency. So I took the person to the emergency room. We waited 4 hours. A lot of stuff's going on. And Michael was saying, in his neck of the woods, a lot of respiratory virus and stuff like that. I'm not sure what was going on here, but they had to have 4 transfer ambulances to take the people to a bigger hospital. And, it's been crazy today, if it isn't one thing or another. But anyhow, guys, hey, welcome to my world on Trim Radio Network. And nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. And we're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. My personages, no, I don't want to say that. My people that I talk about, yeah, any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back and relax and chill out. Oh, by the way, tell your friends to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. because we're live. But I do have to tell you about one thing. If you're going to listen to Money and Change this next 3 weekends, I have some bad news. Actually, it's good news. I have to play a concert 3 Sundays in a row. I don't mind that. I enjoy that. I enjoy performing in front of people. But there's a big problem. They scheduled them at 7 p.m., and that's when Money and Change starts. So we will be doing replays, or what you might want to call, what did Rush Limbaugh call it? Oh, I forget. But anyhow, we'll be doing replays. And we have to, because those concerts are about 2 hours long, and I can't get out of that. So we'll be doing replays, but what I'm going to do with my world, live, laugh, and whatever, I'm going to add a little bit of financial stuff with some of the stuff that's going on. And that way you're kept abreast of a lot of the important stuff that's happening, because there's a lot of stuff out there. And I had a good discussion with a friend of mine today, and it's getting scary. But we'll get into that. Hey, big shout outs. Trim Radio Network for keeping us on the air. We've had a great time of it. And Michael and I have worked together before. We always have a good time. before the show, after the show. You know, we talk about a lot of different things. And we just have fun. Everybody has fun. And that's the best part of it. Now, Trim Radio Network, if you check us out, you know, you can partner with us or you can support the station by buying the merch, as Michael says. It's buy the merchandise. And you can click on that. You can either donate or you can shop. And you can do that. We have our shows. Our program schedule is basically this. A Fishing in Florida show, Money and Change radio show, My World Live, Laugh, and Whatever, Natural Marketer podcast, Offsides College Football Top 25, The Red Pill reality show, Slobber Knocker Talk for people that like football, Spiritual Freedom Show, The Take Point 22 show, The Nixie Weekly Music Countdown, The Brighter Life show, and Walk with Christ God with Michael. And so we've got all of that going on. So you want to check out our shows and buy the merchandise. It helps keep us on the air. It does. It really does. And we put a lot of our own money in there, and because we have to pay for our music license, which is a yearly fee, and we have to pay to keep everything on the air. And it's not a cheap endeavor, I'll tell you what. But we have fun doing it, and that's the best part. Well, hey, all the stuff that's been going on lately, have you been keeping up in the news with everything? Oh, man, it just drives me nuts. And that's what we have to kind of merge things together tonight. Well, hey, big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Hey, it's basketball season, guys. NCAA Division II up in Findlay, Ohio, with the University of Findlay. And besides basketball, they have a lot of other sports, but they also have a very good reputation as a very good educational school. There's no basket weaving there. I'm telling you right now, you get a meaningful degree from the University of Findlay, whether it's a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or a doctoral degree. And again, the doctoral degrees are in pharmacy. They're also in education. They also have an MBA program, Master's of Business Administration, and they also have a doctor in physical therapy. And I've had to have the use of some of their physical therapists that come out of the University of Findlay, and I want to tell you what, they're fantastic. They knew a little bit more than the instructors that I had. A few years ago, I had to go back through some physical therapy. I had a light stroke, and everybody that was there, except for the instructor, happened to be a University of Findlay graduate. All had doctorates. They knew their stuff. They were excellent. They got me back on my feet very quickly. I appreciate that. Hey, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Check them out on Facebook. Phil does an excellent job. Matter of fact, I was talking with Phil today. So was Michael. And Phil and I keep very close tabs. I mean, I think he only lives about a mile or 2 miles away. And I check up with him quite often. And he's still making his pens and the center part, which he calls the blanks. And those are basically beautiful. I mean, they are fantastic. Michael and I both have pens. Michael has a couple of car pens, and I've got one for my lodge, and I'm due to buy some more, I'll tell you. They're great pens, and Phil doesn't give them to us. I mean, we have to buy them, but they're so good. I mean, if you know somebody that is in a college or university, a trade school, high school, grade school, whatever, or you have a business and you have people that are your best customers, you want to give them a pen, or your employees. There are a lot of uses for those. They're on the Cross Pen platform, and they are really nice. And he does them custom. So if you have some type of graphics, he will do that and put it into a pen or a pen blank. the blank is the center section. And a lot of people call up Phil and say, hey, I need so many blanks. And here's the design work. They send it to him. And he actually makes the center section of the pen. And then they have to put it on a lathe and turn it and then polish it up on their own. And that might be for one of their customers or whatever. But Phil does an excellent job. Trust me. He keeps busy. Between his dachshunds, his miniature dachshunds, and doing the pen work, he keeps busy. And I'll tell you what, those dachshunds, every time I go over to visit, I am attacked. They want more loving and attention than you could ever want. Or you could ever give. They are fantastic little dogs, and they're fun to be around. They all have a different attitude and demeanor of any dog. Some are lovey-dovey. Some of them want to wrestle with you. Some of them just want to cuddle up next to you. And it's kind of an interesting situation when I go over there. But anyhow, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, check them out on Facebook. Money and Change, hey, you know, we're live every Sunday at 7 p.m., except for the next 3 weeks due to my concerts. But check us out, and we have a lot of information on our Facebook page, not only for My World, but also for Money and Change / Financially Check. Oh, I'm getting tongue-tied here. That's what I get for going to the ER. It wasn't for me. It was for somebody else. Ooh, all the stuff going around and I had to go to the ER. Well, anyhow, a big shout out to Brad and Krista at the Big Family Homestead, and check them out on YouTube. They're fantastic. And I think the latest one they put out is How to Make Money Off of Your House or Farm. So you want to check them out. Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Check them out. They're in Wiggins, Mississippi. Good people. Speaking of Mississippi, there's also BEP Earthwatch. You might want to check him out on YouTube. He has some information about weather, and he does an excellent job. He also does some music recording on the side, but he basically gets into weather, especially in the South. Check him out. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. He's always talking about boots on the ground and things that are going on. You have to check him out because he has some good information. And a lot of people from all over the United States send him information, and then he goes through all that stuff on the air. I mean, he's great. He knows his stuff too. Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell, hey, he's still digging a hole out in West Virginia. He's still working in amateur mining, and he's putting in some type of a root cellar, bomb shelter, whatever. It's down about 10 or 12 feet deep, and they have to use a jackhammer to dig that stuff out. I don't want to have my body down underground unless it's the final resolve, if you know what I mean. Hey, Canadian Prepper Nate, he's always gloom and doom. Appalachia, the Appalachia Homestead with Patara, check her out. And she's been talking about lately keeping your head on a swivel. And I've heard that from a lot of different people, keeping your head on a swivel. I can only turn my head so far. I can't spin it around. I mean, this isn't The Exorcist, you know, where she spins her head around and all that kind of stuff. But keep your head on a swivel when you go out shopping, especially when you go to the malls or when you go to Wally World or any place, because this is the season for people to actually take advantage of you. Okay, if you know what I mean, they will help liberate your wallet from your body. They will help liberate your car from your hands. A lot of liberation going on, a lot of cheating and stuff. And it's supposed to be the Christmas season. I guess that 'tis the reason for the season. Well, be careful when you're out there. Keep your head on the swivel. Always know your surroundings. And if your gut tells you something, the gut's usually right. Okay, so listen to your gut if you have gut feelings. If you're not supposed to be in an area where you're supposed to be, or you need to lock your car doors or your house, whatever, just be careful. There's been a lot of crazy things going on lately, no matter where you live. Now, in a small town where I live, in a small city, about 21,000 people, we have a little bit of crime, but it's not like the big cities. I can go to the south and go to Dayton, and yeah, they do have crime down there. I could go to Springfield, Ohio. They have crime there. I could go to Lima. They have crime there. I could go to Columbus. They have crime there. I imagine there's crime in Richmond, Indiana, which is about 80 miles from me, or Cincinnati, which is about 85 miles from me. We don't have a lot of shootings here, but we have some weird things that happen. And I'll tell you what. The weirdest stuff that happened the other night, I was checking some research out, and I was on Facebook and checking the messages that I get there and so forth. And somebody said there was a gas leak, a big gas leak, and they could smell it. And they said it was downtown. And then somebody else said, well, I could smell it all the way out to the old mall, the Miami Valley Center. And they said it was really bad. And all these reports came in. And I have a friend of mine that always has a police scanner on. He knows everything. Everywhere in town, he knows. And he responded and said, hey, you know, there is one, but I haven't found it yet. And later on, we found out it was over across from the fire station, believe it or not, at the, I believe it's American Legion. And they're still working on it. So, you know, you don't want to be smoking a cigarette or a cigar or other things down around the fire station, because you could have a fire and we'd be out of luck with some missing fire trucks. Let's put it that way. And you don't want to cause the ambulance guys any grief, because they're always on the move. In this town, I think we do about 5,500 ambulance runs, which is pretty significant for a town our size. And those guys are always busy. Matter of fact, while I was with a friend of mine today for lunch, and we were talking, here comes an ambulance. I thought, oh God, what's going on now? Well, they went to the drive-thru and got food because they had to take it back to the fire station. They didn't have time to eat at the fire station. They rarely have time. They're quite busy. And we've got three ambulances. One's a spare, and the other two are fairly new, and they are always, always on the go. I don't see how those guys sleep at night, because they work a 24-hour shift. And it's 24 on, 48 off. I don't know if I could do that. And there's always stuff you have to do with the ambulance, because you have to sanitize it after you haul somebody, and you have to restock and so forth, and keep it clean, immaculate. And they do. No matter what ambulance they take out, or fire truck for that matter, they run a class act there. Some very good medics, and I've had an opportunity to experience them, either for my parents or myself or my sister or my neighbors. They're always there. They're always good. Fantastic people. I mean, I can't say enough about those guys. And I've known quite a bit over the years, and some of them are characters, but they do professional work. So that's great. But all this stuff going on, and talking to different people about the stuff that's going on with finances and everything. Did you go out for Black Friday? Did you go out 1, 2 o'clock in the morning to be there when the shops opened up at maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning for their special sales. And you've just had a whole bunch of turkey. You're totally stuffed. And then it's time to head to stay out all night long or whatever and try to stay warm and then go shopping as soon as the doors open up. And then I don't know if Wally World opened up at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, but malls will do that to get people in to buy things. And I'll tell you what, I don't do that. I don't get up early. Matter of fact, when I was working, and I had a staff of about 40 people I was responsible for, I told them, I said, if you guys want to do your Black Friday shopping, as long as you have everything covered that you need to do and so forth, and you have the time slips to turn in for approval in advance, then they will be considered. And I had some of my staff in that building always wanted to do that. And I said, as long as everything's covered, I'll go ahead and sign off on it. And it's your leave time, so you can take that. And they do crazy things. I mean, they go out and stand out all night long just to be able to get in at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning to one of the stores and see what the sales were. I'm not going to do that. Matter of fact, if I can get it online, I will do that. If I go out and I'm shopping and I see something, I will do it then. If it's on sale, yeah, I'll definitely consider it. But this Black Friday thing, people, they go nuts for it. You know, you could wait a couple of days for that matter, you know. What was Black Friday like in 2022? Well, I was looking for the stats on that, and something came up, and USA Today had the information, and how much money did Black Friday make in 2022? Well, that's an increase to 7.5% over last year's record-setting mark of $9.12 billion. And Adobe Analytics had estimated this year that Black Friday sales at $9.6 billion. An estimate. More than half, or 54%, of Black Friday online sales were made over smartphones, up from about 48% in 2022, and accounting for $5.3 billion, according to Adobe Analytics. Boy, try to talk. People are really buying things online. You know, if I need a part for the computer or something electronic, I mean, hey, I go right to Amazon. I'm sorry. It works for me. Okay. It works for me. I'm not going to buy anything really, really super expensive online unless I really know the company. And I don't know Amazon that well, even though I use them like everybody else. I do have Prime, which I'm supposed to get it in 2 days. But, you know, that doesn't happen sometimes. It's like 3 and 4 days. Especially when it's coming from who knows where. I think some of it's like camel from Timbuktu or someplace. But anyhow, you know, what did you experience when you were out shopping? Did you go out early in the morning? Did you go out later on the day? Was the parking lot filled? Were people going around like crazy trying to buy a bunch of stuff? I don't like to go in with a whole bunch of crowds. It just drives me nuts. But I'll tell you what I did do. I went in that night. I went to Wally World. I was looking for something specific, and I went in there, and the parking lot was not filled. Matter of fact, their parking lot was probably a quarter filled, and they have a big lot. And I'm like, well, where is everybody? And I'm wondering, well, gee, sales could be up, But do people have enough money? That was the question. And in talking with some people, they said, you know, they think people don't have enough money to do things. And I was saying on Money and Change that a lot of people go out and they don't have the money due to the inflation, and they want to conserve as much as they can, you know, for presents and food, gasoline, comes in handy. And they're not going in and buying big ticket items because they have to use the money to live. They don't have extra money to float around. And that's what's happening. I think even though they're saying that the sales were up, what, 7.9% or $9.8 billion, we won't know until after Christmas to see exactly how the sales were. And I was looking at different things. I'm thinking, like, well, what's happening with the money? You know, our inflation, you go to the grocery and you got to buy things and you have to eat, of course. And so you look at the expensive things. And meat is getting very expensive. And so you have to find meat substitutes. Prices on other goods are going up. It's just the way it is. And what happens is, and if you consider this, and they were talking about it on WLW this afternoon, that as the inflation increases to buy something, you have increased gas and diesel transportation costs. You have increased costs for harvesting and planting because of the diesel, transportation, and all that kind of stuff. You have other expenses, natural gas. My natural gas bill used to be, for my house, was like $36 in October. And October was like 58. And I will get the November bill when I get that. It'll probably be about 60-something. And then probably this winter, the most that I'll probably pay is probably $150 a month to heat the house. And I don't do level billing. Some people do that. I don't. Because in some cases, you don't get a better deal with level billing other than the cost is always the same month to month to month. But when I look at it and average everything out, I think I save a little bit more money by paying each month whatever it is instead of level billing. I don't know. You do your own thing. Do your own due diligence, as I always say. Well, we're having some discussion here about the local water. And, you know, people were saying, oh, it's not good enough, or the flavor of it has, or the smell of it is like chlorine or whatever. And I always tell people, look, if you're going to drink water, and I drink quite a bit, water that is, and what I do, I use a Berkey filter system. And it's a big canister sitting on another canister, but it has filters in there, carbon filters that take out all of the crud in regular tap water. And then it passes through fluoride filters that takes the fluoride out of the water. And some lady was asking me about that. And I said, well, you know, I read where the pineal gland, it's up here in the center of your head. And over time, fluoride actually crystallizes and causes that not to work. And so you need to drink unfluoridated water. Well, what about your teeth? Well, if you take care of your teeth, you don't need the fluoride. And I don't have problems with that. Yeah, I go to the dentist. I go there regularly. And I watch my wallet get thinner and thinner. Talk about inflation. You know, I had two fillings. Next thing you know, they're billing my insurance company $400 and some for two fillings. Yeah. And then I got a bill on top of that for another $87.90 from the insurance company. They said, this is what we're going to pay, and this is what you got. I wonder if they inflated the bill so they got a lot from the insurance company, and then the fillings originally cost $87.96. Something to think about, I guess. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, the water in this town. It's a brand new water plant and everything. And it's great. The other one was a 98-year-old water plant that had problems. And it needed to be updated. And everybody kicked the can down the road instead of borrowing the money to do it, or the bond money to do it when the bonds were cheap. They waited later, and now they have to pay more for that type of facility. So we have to pay more for our water bills. But I still use the Berkey system, B-E-R-K-E-Y. It's good. It's good. You can buy it at Amazon. You can buy it. Alexa Pure is another one that's out there. But what are you going to do for Christmas? Are you going to spend a lot of money? How much do you normally spend per person? You know, I told you Sunday about the lady at one of the restaurants saying that she spent $400 and she wasn't done yet for Thanksgiving. I'd hate to see what she does for Christmas. And she doesn't make that much money. A waitress or even a busser doesn't make that much money. How can they afford stuff like that? You know, I've always told people, pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, be able to purify and store water, make sure you have your medications and so forth. Because one of these days, I mean, if you don't, things are going to go to, you know what, in a handbasket, and you're going to be caught short, and everybody's going to be in that situation. Oh, that reminds me, we have a book. I didn't tell you about it last week. I talked about the Provident Prepper, and I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's an excellent book. It was written by Kylene and Jonathan Jones. I always knew them as Kylene and Jonathan. I didn't know their last name until this book came out. And it's a common sense guide to preparing for emergencies. And I'll tell you what, I bought this book. I think it was something like about $15 or $16. Excellent book. Excellent book. And I've been reading that. And another one that I've got is United We Stand by Dave Kobler. Remember I talked about that, about Dave? Well, these are the two books that I just received. I got a notice as of last Thursday from Kylene, and she says, surprise, you've won a free autographed copy of the book. You're kidding. Me win something? Well, I did. And so it's going to be mailed to me, and they autographed the book, which is great. I have another one. That was written by Gary Burbank, The Voices in My Head. And Gary was a disc jockey, or really a radio personality, at WLW in Cincinnati. And I knew some people that used to work for Gary Burbank on his radio show. I could tell you some stories about that. He paid very well, but how you can cram 15 people in a small studio to do your show is something else. And I met Burbank several times. I met him at his restaurant, and real nice guy. But you think this big, deep voice that he had, he was a short guy. He really was. Matter of fact, I had to look down at him, and I'm short. Okay, so much for that. Well, hey, how about house prices? Some people are trying to develop a section in town next to where I live, and the homes were going to be $333,000. Now, somebody in California, that's nothing. That's a slum. They're paying up to a million or more. And it's because of the population density and all this kind of stuff. But here in Ohio, I mean, this new subdivision wants to go in there. It's $335,000. They want to have a homeowners association. And they want to charge like $300 to $400 a month to maintain the properties and so forth. And I'm thinking, what's the rate on the houses? You know, banks are not loaning money as they were a couple of years ago. And money is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Inflation is going higher and higher and higher. And so are the insurance rates. Everything's going up. So how could you afford to get a new home? Well, we do 30-year payoffs. Okay, you could save money by doing a 15-year payoff. I did that on my house. Had it for 15 years. And I had it for 4% interest. It's paid off. It's been paid off for quite a while. So I don't owe anything there. I don't owe anything on my car. You know, if I owe anything, it's on a credit card. But that's always paid off, so I don't pay interest. That's the key. And you take a look at all this stuff, and the home prices are changing. And I was looking on USA Facts. And, you know, the states with rising home prices. Maine, year over year change is 7.6%. Connecticut, 7.6%. New Hampshire, 7.1%. Arkansas, 6.9%. New Jersey, 6.9%. Things are going up. The top states with the largest decline in home prices are in the Southwest, in Nevada. The prices went down 5.3%. Utah, 4.5%. Idaho, 4.1%. Washington State, 3.4%. Oh, Washington's expensive to live at. Arizona went down 2.5%. They're expensive to live there. Home prices rose more than 3.5 times the national rate in Camden, New Jersey. Who would want to live in Camden? I knew some people in that lived in New Jersey. I like living in the Midwest myself, or else down south. Camden, New Jersey, year-over-year change was 10.6%. El Paso, Texas was 10.3%. Syracuse, New York, 9.6%. Columbia, South Carolina, Michael, it's 9.1%. Miami Beach, I want to go to Miami, 8.1%. Things are changing, and sometimes it's better just to save where you're at. I saw an article, and I just want to touch on it briefly. Night of the Living Ed, zombie public schools drained of pandemic lifeblood haunt the land. It was written by Vince Bielski, B-I-E-L-S-K-I, on the Real Clear Wire. You notice when we had the pandemic and kids stayed home, and they either worked on their computers or whatever, educational learning statistics went down. And the schools were trying to cope with everything. But I was looking at, are they really learning anything? Can they learn remotely? I have wonders about thoughts about working remotely. But here's schooling taking place, you know, and the guy said, I visited one school that takes up an entire city block, but there were only 5 classrooms used, plus a library, a computer room, and an after-school room. And that was according to Sam Davis, a member of the Board of Education in Oakland, California. And he said, as our budget officer said, if you don't have enough students for 2 teams to play kickball, there are a lot of other academic activities that are not going on to be sustainable either. Is the quality of education there? Do we put too much on the teachers saying, well, you have to meet these state requirements and you have to have 30, 40 students in a classroom? We expect them all to learn everything. And oh, by the way, they have attention spans of about 10 minutes. How do you really educate? I'll tell you, I went through public school in the town where I live now. And one of the guys that I went to school with went to the Naval Academy, and they asked him on TV, they said, did your school prepare you for the Naval Academy? He said, no. He was in the top part of his class. And we had people that were doctors. We had people that were lawyers. We had people that were architects or builders and things like that. And some were in music and arrangers and so forth. Some were financial people. And today, they have to take all these tests. We never had to take specialized tests other than just a couple, SAT, and there was an ACT that we had to take, which nobody really taught and prepared you for that. It's just something we had to take to see if you were smart enough to go to college. And I wondered about those scores, and I wondered about how they could teach. And I, being out of public school then versus now, I wonder on how good education is. Some places it is, some places it isn't. And as I went to school, I went to a couple of state universities, and they were okay, but they wanted your money and could care less. I went to 2 private schools, and they really worked you very well. I mean, hard and well. I mean, they put you away. If you were a horse, they put you away wet. They worked you like crazy, and they demanded a lot, and they got a lot. I'm just wondering about the quality of education. And are we really getting our money's worth? Are we really getting what the students need? Do we have the right pathway for them to succeed? Especially in the inner city schools. Some of those are nightmares. I've seen stuff, and it's kind of scary. Well, going on, I saw something today. Author, it was Deborah Heine, H-E-I-N-E, with American Greatness. And she wrote an article about special counsel Jack Smith demanded info on Americans who favorited or retweeted Trump tweets, according to these newly released documents. This is November 29th. And she wrote, special counsel Jack Smith demanded information on Twitter users who liked or retweeted former President Donald Trump's tweets. That's a crazy way of wording things, leading to the January 6th riot. And it was a heavily redacted search warrant and so forth. Ugh. You know, when the government wants to find out how you think, what you've said, and so forth, and they're looking for the way you do things politically, Isn't that socialism? I kind of think so. It's hopefully we don't get like China. Hopefully we don't get to be socialized. It's all about control. And I've said that time and time again. It's all about control. Somebody wants to control what you do, what you eat, what you breathe, oxygen. Oh God, what would happen if they taxed us on oxygen? How many taxes do we actually pay? I think sometimes somebody said we pay over 90 different taxes. You know, you've got your property tax, you've got your gasoline tax, you've got other taxes, sales tax, all these different taxes. They used to have a death tax, but not in Ohio anymore. So you can basically not pay any taxes, you know, if you're kicking the bucket. But you have all these different taxes. It's kind of crazy. You know, I could see doing away with all of these taxes, whether it's federal taxes for, you know, income tax or whatever, and actually just paying a percentage. In other words, the federal government only gets either 1% of all the money you make or 2% of all the money you make and no more. States get 2% and the local gets whatever. You only take out maybe 10% total. And people get the rest to live on and invest, save money, whatever. Something to think about. A national flat tax. And I think that would be good. And that way the federal government has to live on a budget, which they don't do now. There's no such thing as a federal budget. Even when I worked for the state, we had to have a budget. We had to turn it in. We had to have a balanced budget. We had to come within 1% of our projections. One-tenth of a percent, not 1%. One-tenth of a percent. But not in the federal government. I mean, it's pie in the sky there. Here's something that came out. Paul Joseph Watson in Modernity News. Maternity News. Authorities demand access to private social media conversations to spy on anti-mass migration sentiment. If you don't like the migration sentiment, you know, the way I look at it, hey, if they want to come into the country, they come in legally, not illegally. It has to be legally. There's a process for it. And that keeps it fair for everybody else coming in. Hey, there was one thing, and I'm going to post it. I just found out just before the show. An article from Sweden. Actually, it's a pamphlet from Sweden, and I'm going to put it up there. They sent this out to everybody in Sweden. And Eric from Goshen Prepping was reading it, and he says, I can't read Swedish. But luckily, they have it in English, too. And they sent this out because of things going on in Europe and you know, going on in the world. They were talking about information for the population of Sweden. Or I could say, information for the population of Sweden. If crisis or war comes. And I'll post that because it's very interesting. It starts out like, what would you do if your everyday life was turned upside down? And they say an emergency can result in society not functioning in the way we are used to. Climate change and so forth, disruptions. And what would you do if the heating stops working? Or it becomes difficult to prepare and store food. How about the shops run out of food and other goods? there is no water coming out of the taps or filling the toilet. It is not possible to fill up your car. Payment cards and cash machines do not work. Public networks and internets do not work. Public transport and other means of transportation are at a standstill, and it becomes difficult to obtain medicines and medical equipment. And it talks about emergency preparedness. And what do you do in the event of a terror attack? And they're saying move to a safe place and avoid large groups of people. Call the police. Theirs is 112 and ours is 911 to inform them if you see something important. Warn those who are in danger and help them who are in need of assistance. Put your mobile on silent, which means your mobile phone on silence. Just put it on vibrate and do not call anyone who may be in the danger area because the sound could cause problems. Do not call anyone with your mobile unless you have to. If the network is overloaded, it may be difficult for vital calls to go through. Another thing is, and I've been pushing it, ham or GMRS radios, and you can set up your own little net in your subdivision or in your town, because these things will talk up to 5 miles and longer, depending on the height and the amount of power you have in these things. Okay, something to consider. This one is pronounced ocean, but it's W-O-U-X-U-N. It has 5 watts on it, and it covers the GMRS channels, and it will also monitor other channels too. Something to check into. Two-way radios has it, by twowayradios.com. And they're very good about service. And this whole thing goes on and talks about home preparedness tips. And they have a whole checklist on food, what food you need, what water you need, what warmth you need. You know, if the temperature gets really cold in the wintertime and we don't have any gas to heat the houses, or we don't have electricity, a lot of people aren't. Probably 90% of Americans would not be able to survive something like that. And here they're saying warm woolen clothes, warm all-weather outdoor clothing, hats, gloves, scarves, blankets, sleeping mats, sleeping bags, candles, tea lights, matches, or fire lighter, alternative heat sources, which is liquid propane gas heaters, paraffin heaters, kerosene heaters, a lot of different things. A lot of houses nowadays don't have fireplaces, so you have to improvise there. How about spirit stoves, alcohol stoves? How about headlights? You know, you put them up on your head. Batteries. Do you have enough batteries? And what type of batteries and how long do they last? Can you recharge batteries? That's something to consider. And they didn't put that there. I just added it. How about communication? A radio that's powered by batteries and solar cells or winding. I've got a couple of those. And they're very good radios, by the way. And they weren't expensive. How about a car radio? A list of important telephone numbers on paper. Have them written down or printed off. Extra batteries, power bank for devices such as mobile phones. I have some that are solar powered. And I leave them on in the house and they get light from the room. There's one in this room right now and it stays charged. And I can take it out and I can plug my cell phone in and recharge it. I could do my handheld, because it has an adapter for that, all kinds of stuff. Do you have cash in small denominations? Because if the ATMs go down, you're in trouble. There's no cash. Oh, I'll use my credit card. No, it won't work either. So how are you going to survive? Medicine cabinet and extra medicines. wet wipes. Oh, those are coming in. That's an important thing. Wet wipes. You got to have wet wipes. Hand sanitizer. Feminine products. Paper printouts of information such as insurance policies, bank details, registration certificates, and fuel in your tank of your car. Extra fuel and store it properly. Be very careful with that. Do you have extra propane? Have propane grill? Well, you'll be able to cook on that. I will post that on both websites. Okay. I will download it and you can use it. I promise it won't be in Swedish. I tried reading Swedish one time and I couldn't make a lot of sense out of it because they have all these little circles above O's and two dots above A's and all kinds of stuff. I'm good with a little bit of German. I'm good with French, a little bit of French. I'm not good with Swedish. It's a little bit different language and they pronounce things different. But if you go to Sweden, they know English very well. And same thing in Norway. You go to Finland, a lot of people speak English there. A lot of people in Europe, English was their second language, believe it or not. One time I was on vacation in Florida and we had people from Germany there. And I was asking them, when did the students learn English? And they say, oh, about third or fourth grade. And then it's introduced. And they had their child was swimming in the pool and the little gal was splashing water all over the place. And the mother goes, nicht spritzen, nicht spritzen. And the girl just stopped and looked at her mother. And it was, don't splash, don't splash. And I looked at the little girl and I go, wir haben was ausgefressen. And the mother just started laughing. And the little girl was like, he knows German. I know a few phrases to get me by. And the mother said, oh, you know Deutsch. Ein bisschen, small amount. And what I said was, you got your hand caught in the cookie jar. Wir haben was ausgefressen. But that's what it literally means. You just got caught. Or as they would say in England, you just got nicked. But anyhow, you run into a lot of stuff. And English is a second language. And we should all probably know a different language. I mean, Spanish is probably the easiest of the bunch. English is a difficult language to use. I'll put it that way. But you know, guys, what we need to do is we take a look at all the stuff that's being posted of wars and rumors of wars and all this kind of stuff. Why don't we start talking peace? Can't we all get along, live together? I mean, do we have to really get vicious? We don't need that. We can all get along. There's just a few jerks out there that can't get along. And maybe they need to be put in a place where they can all be by themselves for a long time. But anyhow, guys, we're getting into the Christmas season. Like I said, I've got three concerts coming up the next three Sundays. So we'll have reruns of Money and Change. That's why we were talking about some of the stuff, financial stuff tonight. But it's also a time to reflect and reflect on, you know, how we've been over the year, how we can improve ourselves, how we can help people out. It's just like when the neighbor says, I need to go to the ER, the emergency room. And I'm like, okay, I'll take you. I had other things I had planned to do, and I planned to do more research for the show, but I couldn't do it because I was concerned and I was at the emergency room. And so, yeah, stuff like that happens. You help your neighbors out, they help you out when you need help. And that's the way life should be, shouldn't it? Live, laugh, and whatever. Well, anyhow, guys, that's all I've got. Michael, if you're back in the background there, you know it's 9 o'clock and it's time to pull the plug.
I am here. And I'll tell you what, with that, folks, don't forget, Stu is going to be off for the next 3 weeks on Sunday. So Money and Change, you will hear some reruns. Come Christmas week, all the way from Christmas all the way to New Year's, I am off. But reruns will be on and stuff like that.
Check their websites and check Facebook.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this has been kind of a tough year, recovering for some medical stuff I've been going through, so we have not had Take Point 22 on lately. It just wears out my body so late at night. So anyway, with that, and I apologize, I'm giving the ums. That Toastmaster class is really paying off. Anyway, I see you laughing there, Stu. Anyway, you all have a wonderful week, and we will see you again next Wednesday. So, oh, and Sunday we will have on, of course, Life Walk with Christ God. We will have that on. Great book we're going through, John. I love that book, New Testament. Absolutely fantastic. So tune in for that. That is absolutely wonderful. And I will probably run that right around 6 o'clock and run it till 7. Then Stu's show will automatically come on for a rerun, but I will run it at that time. So you will hear us then. And anyway, with that, we are out of here. I hope you all have a wonderful week, safe weekend, and be good to one another. Love one another. When in doubt, throw a little more love at it. It always works.
See ya.
Bye.